So Lord, I want to just thank you for the word, Lord, that you've put on my heart, even at short notice for today. Lord, I pray that you would use it to bring a blessing to you. Lord, would you speak to our hearts, God, I pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember when you were a kid and you were in trouble? Probably not fun memories to remember, but you could always tell you were in trouble. I don't know about you, but I've heard this pretty much, I'm going to guess, it's pretty common for all of us. We knew we were in trouble when our parents would use our full name. When I heard Eric Roland Spady, I knew something was up. It's the only time you really heard your middle name, especially as a kid, right? You learn to write your name, but you don't usually write your middle name. And so I was like, oh, Roland, that's right, that's my middle name. And I knew I was in trouble when mom or dad would say my full name. And you could, of course, tell in their tone of voice, Eric Roland Spady. What'd I do, right? Panic would set in, but it got your attention. It made you think, made you worry, made you panic. I don't know, lots of different things. And today I want to look at how God gets our attention. We're going to continue on with the study or the series about hearing God's voice, but I want to do it from maybe a little different perspective. And today we're going to talk about when God gets our attention, when God says our name twice. That's the title for today, when God says your name twice. You know, there's seven people that it's recorded where God said their name two times. We're going to look at two of them this morning and then end with the third one. And we'll probably pick up some more next week when I preach. And I want to connect that to what happens and why it matters next Sunday for eternity. Something God's been putting on my heart for a little while. So I think this one really fits in today. But I want to look at when God says your name twice. Now, Athel started this series by talking about how God speaks, and he talked about the story from Samuel. So for those of you who are here, including me, 2 weeks ago, he mentioned, we looked at from 1 Samuel, how God called a young boy named Samuel. And when he calls him, he first says, Samuel. And Samuel gets up, and he runs to his master, Eli, and he says, what is it? And long story short, Eli says, I didn't call you, go back to bed. Happens again, Samuel. He gets up and he runs and, what'd you want? Oh, I didn't call you, go back to bed. Does it again. Finally, Eli, wise enough, says, if the Lord calls you again, it must be the Lord if you hear that again. The last time that it happens in verse 10, the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. Says his name twice. He gets his attention. And Samuel's response is so amazing. He says, your servant is listening. Well, that's where we started off our series, where Athel started us off, in hearing God's voice. That's one of them. We're going to look at a couple more today. We're going to look at, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read probably a very familiar story, but maybe one that you haven't heard in this way, when God calls your name twice. He's trying to get our attention. As you're turning there, Luke chapter 10, I'll give you a moment. You know, when something happens twice in the Bible, it's the Bible's way to underline it, to make note, to get your attention. Jesus, when he taught, he would say, truly, truly, I say unto you. Or if you're a King James lover, or King Jimmy, as I call him, if you like the Jimmy version, it says, verily, verily. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus was making a point. He would say something two times. You also see two times, for example, in the Bible where you have the description of the Holy of Holies found in the tabernacle. You couldn't go and touch that. We're called holy as followers of Christ. That's one holy. The place where God dwelt in the Old Testament was the Holy of Holies. There's two times. And only God himself gets all three. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You see, there's a whole thing about numerology in the Bible. We're not going to get into that today, but I want you to notice that two is very significant. When Jesus tried to get the disciples to pay attention, he said, truly, truly, I say unto you. take notice. When God says our name twice, he's trying to get us to pay attention. And most of the time, as we're going to look at some of these references today, you were usually in trouble. Just like Eric Roland Spadey when I heard my name. God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to tell us something. So let's look from Luke chapter 10. And it's really an interesting story of just how Jesus comes into the town and how he's about to go to Mary and Martha's house. And that's a familiar story for a lot of people, but actually we're going to start with just verse 17 on its own. I want to give you some context. So, verse 17 of chapter 10, Luke 10, it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, quote, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. What's he talking about there? Well, Jesus had sent them out. He sent them on a missions team. Let's use some our terminology. He sent them on a missions team, and they went out and they did some missions. And when they returned, notice that it says 72 returned. That's important for a moment. I'll show you why. 72 returned, and they were full of joy. It's what you expect after a missions trip, right? 3 weeks ago, we heard from the Macedonia team when they came back full of joy about the good things that God was doing through them and through their team. We love to hear those kind of stories. They were reporting back, Lord, even the demons respond to your name. They're pretty excited. We're seeing stuff. Things are happening. God, this is exciting. So I want you to hear there's 72 people, and I want you to hear there's a whole bunch of them, okay? That's just what I want you to get. And they're full of joy, and they're pretty excited. Now, if you would, jump down with me to verse 38. Now, as they, who's the they? Well, it's the 72. That's why I wanted you to see a context. Here's this big crowd that's gathered, excited, full of a missions report, 72 of them. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. So you see Jesus and a whole bunch of these people on their way entering a village. So if all the 72 were still around and the 12 disciples and Jesus, you got about 80 people there, right? You've got a bunch of people, however you count it. Reading on, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And as she went up to him, and she said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, there's your two names. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and that is not going to be taken away from her. Wow. What do we have here? We have a whole bunch of people full of excitement, excited about a missions trip, about to go have a meal. And they enter into Martha and Mary's home, also the home of Lazarus. And if you know anything about John chapter 11 and Lazarus being raised from the dead, lots of stuff happens around this house. It's a pretty significant couple or sister-brother combination that's happening here in this house. And now they're coming for a meal, and it says that they welcome them. I don't know about you, but has anybody shown up to your door unexpectedly? Have you had some visitors show up uninvited? Or maybe you only got a short little notice? That phone call saying, hey, we're in town. Can we stop by? We've only got an hour. What happens to you?
Panic.
Thank you. Panic. Exactly right, Gloria. We panic. What's the first things we usually do? Come on, you can talk to me. It's all right.
Clean
up. Exactly right. We start to clean. We want to make sure everything's not messy. What's in the way? What are people going to notice? We panic. It's a pretty normal response. Martha panics. Oh my gosh, we got a whole bunch of guests showing up. What are we going to do? I can just hear her breathing heavy. I can just hear her panicking in that situation. I can see the sweat dripping off of her face. Perspiration under her arms, right? All those things that show Martha is freaking out here because all of a sudden, she's got some unexpected visitors. And it says there, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha is the one welcoming him. She said, let's do this. So it wasn't like it was forced on her. Mary or Lazarus or nobody else seemed to make this. It's Martha who welcomes her. But what does she end up doing? Yeah, she's like you and me. She ends up panicking, and the panic and the anxiety takes over, and she starts to clean and she starts to get everything ready. Do you know what happens with the Marthas? And we have Martha inside all of us, don't we? And I'm not just talking about panicking and cleaning up. I'm talking about the Martha that lives inside of us that's got to get it right. That gets overly focused on other stuff. Do you know what the other versions of the Bible says? You have that slide up there, David, if you put that up there for me. In the Amplified Bible, it says this, but Martha was very busy and distracted with other serving responsibilities. Don't you love that phrase? Martha was very busy and distracted. You ever been distracted? Busy with a whole bunch of other stuff? Got to get this done. Got to fix this. Got to go there. Got to talk to this person. Got to send off this email. Got to fix this part of my house. And we get lost in the shuffle. Sometimes Jesus has to call our name, and we don't want to have to hear it twice. We don't want to have to hear Eric, Eric. Or Judy, Judy. Or Bill, Bill, right? We don't want to have to hear that. Goes on to say in the Message Bible, her response, it's so interesting. So here he's saying, you know, she's so busy and so distracted. Mary sat before the master hanging on every word, but Martha was pulled away by all that she was doing in the kitchen. Later she stepped in, interrupting them. Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned me to the kitchen? Tell her to lend me a hand. Doesn't that sound like what we would do? When we panic, that's what comes up in our hearts. I need help. It's your fault. And we blame. See, that's the Marthas inside of us. It's not just the busy person who's got to clean because we got people showing up for the house. It's that person that complains, who resents, who accuses, who breaks out in anger, who blames. Remember, it's her that welcomed him. But now she's busy preparing and getting all these things ready. And her sister, Mary, is just sitting at his feet. Come on, Mary. Get with it. We got work to do. She obviously didn't hear about Jesus' miracles with loaves and fishes. I mean, she could have, think about it, she could have said, here's my pita bread, Jesus, and here's my lentils I got ready. You do your job. I'm sitting at your feet. And he could have multiplied them, right? She had options. She didn't have to get things ready. She chose to welcome him. She had options. She could have had Jesus here. You do your thing. Multiply the stuff. If I got to feed everybody, I don't have time. I want to sit at your feet. See, part of hearing God's voice is not just future and big stuff, and that's very important. It's also the little things. It's the still small voice. It's hearing him speak to our hearts. It's hearing him say, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get married, right, Nelson? Big stuff and little stuff. You know, I became a Christian when I was 15. Most of you know my testimony of my bus driver from Columbine High School leading me to the Lord. And I was hungry for Jesus. I wanted more of him. And I have a very distinct memory of being about 16, 17, sitting downstairs watching TV with my mom and dad. We have one of these two-story houses back then in Littleton, Colorado. And I was sitting down watching TV with them. And I just had this sense of the Lord speaking to my heart. I didn't have language for this stuff. I didn't know about calling it hearing God's voice. I just had this sense that the Lord was speaking to me, go upstairs and read your Bible. That's all I got. So I kind of dismissed myself. I told my mom and dad I was going to go upstairs and read. I went upstairs, and you know, honestly, at 16, 17, only being a Christian for a year or two, I didn't really know where to read in the Bible. I knew a little bit. Rudy was discipling me, my bus driver, so I knew a little bit, but I really honestly didn't know a whole lot. So, like you, I just did the Bible roulette. You ever do that, right? And you open it up and you just start reading. And that's what I did. I just flicked some pages and I just started reading. Now, if God's speaking to you, don't you think he's going to show you something? See, one of the, as we learned last week, Athel shared with us, one of the major primary ways God speaks is through his word. So I'm flipping open my Bible. I'm hearing this impression in my heart. Go upstairs and read your Bible. I flip open my Bible, and it opens to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I look down, and it happened to be a paragraph break, so that's where my eyes caught, and it started with verse 12. And it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young." Now at 16, 17, that just jumped out of the page at me. I was like, what? Don't let anyone look down because you're young. That jumped out at me. I kept reading. Paul is charging Timothy. The Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young, but be an example in love, in deed, in speech. And then he goes on to say to Timothy, until I come back, I want you to be about the reading of Scripture, teaching, the public reading of Scripture, basically doing the work of the ministry. And when I read that, I heard the Lord speak to my heart, Eric, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young, but be an example. And then the Lord spoke to me with that next verse, until I come back, be about the public reading of Scripture, of teaching. In that moment, in that flipping open my Bible, listening to what I believed was the Lord's voice, he gave me the calling of my life. That's why I can stand up here today as a pastor. That's why I can stand up as a missionary and do what I do as a counselor. That's why I've been in ministry for 40 plus years, because I knew at age 17 the Lord was calling me to ministry. It didn't say I was going to be a missionary in Sweden. It didn't say I was going to attend Grace Point Church. It didn't say I was going to marry Lisa Winter, who became Lisa Spady. It didn't say all those little fine details, but he gave me a big picture of my life. He said, Eric, this is what you're going to be doing. And I knew that I knew that I knew. Sunday school this morning, we talked about some of this when the Lord speaks our name, and I shared with the Sunday school class today something really vulnerable, and I'll share it with you. I remember a time, though, that I heard the Lord say my name twice. I'll give you a real quick context. About the same age, about 17, I had just bought a cassette player. Do you remember cassette players, right? that was the iPod or iPad or whatever you want to call it today. So you had to get a cassette player, you know, you got music, and you would get this patch cord to attach to your radio so you could record radio. Christian radio was just starting then, and I wanted to record as much music as I could because couldn't really buy a whole lot back then. And I opened up this cassette recorder, and it didn't have this patch cord, and I was really bummed. So I went down to Radio Shack, when we still had Radio Shacks, and I was going to get another patch cord. And I walked up to the aisle, you know, to the hanging racks, and I grabbed one of these patch cords, one of these little, you know, microphone jacks. And something came over me, this huge temptation and entitlement, and I'm just being honest and vulnerable with you, huge entitlement to steal. It's huge temptation. So I took that patch cord and I stuffed it, kind of, I had sort of this little vest, and I stuffed it in there, because I was entitled. I paid for this recorder. It didn't come with a patch cord. I'm just going to take one, right? The rational or rationality we do with stealing and all sorts of other sins. And, you know, I just blocked my conscience and off I went. And even when I was taking it from the rack and thinking about it and stuffing it in my little vest, I could hear the Lord, Eric, You know when he speaks to your conscience and you just know it? I haven't heard the audible voice of the Lord. I know there's some people even in this room that have. I have not, but I've heard that still small voice. I've heard that message, Eric, Eric. And you know what? I ignored it. I went charging up to the front of the store, was just about to leave the store when I heard, young man. Can you guess the rest of the story? Oh, crap, right? I got caught. This clerk puts his hand on his shoulder, and I'm going to quote exactly what he said. He said, you're a grown-ass young man. Said it directly like that, right at me. What are you doing? In a stern voice. Can you imagine the flush of shame that came over my face? I'm going to call the cops on you. Or no, he said, I should call the cops on you. I think, I swear my heart was going to come pounding out of my chest, right? All my blood, I'm sure, was down at my feet. It's probably, you know that feeling of not only have you been caught, but now you have broken your conscience and you're like, what am I doing? Why did I get in this fog? It's because I didn't hear. I ignored the Eric. Fortunately, he didn't call the police. He gave me a stern warning, and off I went. But, oh, man, did that teach me a lesson, right? Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We were talking about this in Sunday school. God, thank you for your mercy, that in your kindness and your goodness, you allow us to get caught. You discipline those you love. You show us in your kindness and mercy that you are with us and you are for us. It doesn't change his love one bit. Our sin doesn't modify our love one bit. But boy, it sure changed the way I thought about myself. Martha, Martha, you're so busy doing other stuff. Your sister Mary has chosen the better, and it's not going to be taken from her. When God calls our name twice, we need to pay attention. Let's look briefly one more for this morning. We're in the same chat or same book, Luke chapter 22 this time. Luke 22. Now we've got the story of when the Lord speaks to Peter. And in this context, it's Jesus' Last Supper. He's with his disciples. He knows exactly what's going to take place. They don't. Just like us, we don't always know the end from the beginning, but we're glad Jesus knows the end from the beginning. And they're with him, and he knows exactly what's going to happen that night, but they don't. They think Jesus is going to establish his kingdom. So they're pretty excited. You know, they just celebrated the Lord's Supper, just like we did last week. They just celebrated communion. They had this wonderful time with Jesus. And now, if you look at Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 24, they end up in a big dispute, an argument. Who's going to be the greatest? Boy, isn't that what happens when we gather together people, right? And we start jockeying for position because we want to feel important, we want to feel seen, we want to feel noticed. And so now there's this big argument and they're fighting over it and so on. And Jesus tells them real straight up, you know what? This is not how we do things. It's about being a servant. And he talks a little bit about servant leadership. We don't have so much time to go into that part of it right now. But I wanted you to hear the context, because in verse 31, we have where Jesus says Simon Peter's name twice. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he, meaning Peter, replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, even to prison to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you even know me. You'll deny me three times that you'll even know me. What's going on there? You see, they had just celebrated the Lord's Supper. There's the disciples, I think, had this anticipation that the kingdom, this Messiah, is finally going to reveal himself and blow off the government that they hate and finally bring in the righteous rule they've been looking for, et cetera, et cetera. And now they're jockeying for position, and they want to know who's going to be the greatest, and their minds are very, very carnal. And Peter, of course, being the Peter that he is, the bold and brave, you know, who's going to be the greatest? I can see Peter jockeying for position in this argument. It doesn't tell us what they argued about or what they disputed, but I can just imagine he's trying to be at the top. And Jesus has to say to him, Peter, Peter, or Simon, Simon. He's trying to get our attention. Jesus tries to get our attention when he speaks our name twice. He wants us to hear his voice. He tells Peter, Satan's asked for you. He wants to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Isn't that awesome? He prays for us. John 17 tells us he intercedes for us. Romans 8 tells us that not only did he die, but now he's arisen, and he's constantly interceding for us. Romans 8. He intercedes for you and I that our faith would not fail. But he says something really interesting to Simon. He says to Peter, when you turn back, not if you're going to fall, or maybe, or you might, but when. Because you see, what he was trying to tell him is, I know what's going to happen. And when you fall, and when you come back, strengthen your brothers. Why? Because Satan's going to sift you like wheat. He wants to sift you out. He wants to take you out. Do you know how they sift wheat back then? They take a pitchfork, throw it up in the air, and gravity did the work. The kernel, the good stuff, the wheat, is heavier and would fall to the ground. The chaff or the husk that's around the wheat kernel would blow away in the wind. So they would constantly do this, throw up the wheat up into the air, and whatever came down was the good stuff, and you did it on windy days so that the chaff, the husks, would float away. What's he trying to paint there? The enemy is after us. He wants to steal that still small voice. He wants to get to me. Oh, you're entitled to that headphone jack, you're entitled to that patch cord, you paid for it already, right? He wants to trick us, he wants to take us out, he wants to separate us like wheat from the chaff, he wants to separate us from God so we don't hear his voice, so we don't know who he is, and so we've lost our way. You see, when we're separated, when we're too busy like Martha and we don't have time, or we're like Peter and we're so bold and so determined and so already have our path and our agenda, he wants to sift us. He wants to take us out and separate us from hearing that still small voice. Do you remember when gas was 39 cents? I know you old timers will. Probably. I'm going to get Ann Jackson. Do you remember it being like 10 cents?
25.
25, Gloria says. All right. Do we have less than 25? Let's do a little auction. 19, there we go. I remember 39. I don't know why. I guess that's when I started driving. 39 cents. I was a poor college student, right? You know what I would do? This is back before debit cards and all that stuff. You'd have to go in and pay for your gas ahead of time so you could pump the amount. Do you remember that? I'd go and give them $2. That's all I had. I was at the gas station a lot. Because $2, although even at 39 cents, still didn't go very far. But it's all I had. So I'd go in $2, and I'd drive, and I'd go to Bible school, and oh, there's my gas running, and get another $2. Because I didn't have a whole lot to fill up the gas tank. I only had about $2. So I kept going to the gas station all the time. And one time I remember being there at the gas station, trying to fill up with my $2, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Eric, that's how you treat me. You don't wait long enough to fill up. I was just like my car. I was giving God my $2 worth. Just for a quick fix. Just to get me to school and back. in the name of being a poor Bible college student. Just a quick fix, God. I'm going to just give you my church time. I'm going to just show up and sit on the pew. That's it. I'm just going to do my thing. I'm just going to read my little daily devotional and forget the rest. No, I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to watch TV. I heard there's a really new TV, great new TV show on. And we fill it up with everything else. And then we try to come to church and we give God our $2 worth and we wonder why we feel empty. I hope God doesn't have to say your name twice. But sometimes he does to get our attention because he loves us. And he desires to get our attention. And he desires to do something in our hearts. He doesn't want us busy like Martha. And he doesn't want us bold and on our own agenda thinking we're going to rule the world like Peter. He wants us dependent, humble, listening to a still small voice. You know, Athel got us a bunch of these journals, Athel and Nicole. I grab one from back there. There's a whole bunch back there. I want to encourage you to get one of these. There's a whole bunch back there. And I'm going to tell you very practically what to do. I do this myself. Take the journal, open it up, date it, and I want you to write on there your prayer. Just write out your prayer. Lord, I'm asking you for this today, or I'm listening to you for that. Or Jesus, would you talk to me about this situation in my life? And when you're done, however many pages that is, I want you to turn to a new page or draw a line underneath, whatever you like. And then I want you to listen. This is called listening prayer, listening journal. I want you to listen and start writing what the Lord speaks to your heart. Tune into that still small voice. Now, for some of you, this is going to feel really strange and awkward. God doesn't want to speak to me about that. Yeah, he does. Sometimes he doesn't in that moment. Sometimes he's quiet. Sometimes we can really hear those crickets chirping. But allow him to speak to you because he may not answer the question you asked above, but he wants to definitely speak to our hearts. Would you tune into that still small voice? Would you hear what he has to say? Next week, we're going to look at Jacob and Moses when the Lord says their names two times and what an impact that can make in our lives and an impact for eternity. But let me leave you with just one thought. We'll revisit this one for next week. I want to just very briefly tell you about one other time there was two names spoken, but this time not to a person, this time to God. It's Matthew 27. We don't have time to look there today. Our time's up. But Matthew 27, Jesus is hanging on the cross, taking upon the sins of the world. And this time he says a name two times. He says the name of God. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? As he took on the sins of the world, as he took on yours and my sin, he called out the name of his Father two times. I'm desperate. I need your attention. The human part of Jesus was suffering greatly for you and me. Today, as the worship team comes and as we respond in our hearts to the message, I want to just challenge you to hear that still small voice. I want to challenge you even to hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe it's time for you to say, you know what, I'm tired of giving just $2 worth of God. I want all of you. I want more of you. Maybe it's a time where we say, I want to hear your voice, Lord. I need to pray with somebody. Would you get with somebody? Would you come up here? We have the ministry team on the sides. Get together with somebody else. Pray with somebody and just have them pray with you. Take a journal today and pray over it and let the Lord speak to you as he wants to speak to your heart and to mine. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that you speak. Lord, sometimes you have to speak our names twice. You have to get our attention. Lord, I thank you even in that, Lord, of your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, would you just lead us now as we reflect on you. Lord, would you speak to us as a church this week, and may we be a people that hears your voice and obeys your name. Let us be like Samuel, that when even you speak our name twice, we say, your servant is listening. So we want to hear your words today. Thank you, Lord. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, as we respond to this message. And we give you the praise.